Hello. Today, we are going to do it. We are going to sit at the table of success.
Have your haters become your waiters when you sit down at the table of success.
First up, I do want to say the plan was to do Eric Adams eventually when everything was sort of said and done.
Yeah, we were going to culminate in Eric Adams.
Yeah, maybe like a live show.
I'm going to let you all in on a secret. When we were planning this episode, we were frantically sending different crazy mayors. Not this episode, this podcast. We were frantically sending the Wikipedia articles of different crazy mayors back and forth to one another, convinced increasingly that this was a good premise for a show. The one thing we all agreed on was that we are going to do Eric Adams after quite a while.
Yes. You gotta build to Eric Adams.
Yeah, we had on the schedule a goofy one with a similarly sort of goofy bonus.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
However, the cruel haters, the fates, have dealt us a different hand.
The haters in many ways fulfilling the role of the Greek Erinyes or Furies.
Or the Greek waiters at the Greek restaurant.
As we say, let the Furies become your furries at the FurCon of success.
Do we say that?
I'm always
the Greek waiters of vengeance smashing plates over me at the table of vengeance.
My souvlaki was on there.
No, fuck. Hi everybody.
It's no gods, no mayors. Eric Adams has been indicted, so we're going to cover the man that you could say is the sort of grand mayor of this very podcast in a lot of ways. We're going to start at the beginning, and we're going to go up through his recent troubles. We wouldn't be here without him, I think. And that is right. It is time for Eric Adams, part one of two, parentheses for now. It's no gods, no mayors. It's Maddie in the driver's seat. I'm here with Nova. I'm here with Riley.
It's Maddie in the mayor's seat.
It's Maddie in the mayor's seat. It's no gods, no mayors. Let's dig in, girls. Okay.
You know what I'm going to dig into? You know what I'm going to dig into? I'm going to dig into my
popular knapsack with many different locations.
The thing about Eric Adams, right, is that he provides a great deal of drops for me to use on the soundboards.
This is going to be the hardest act of Rileying I'll ever have to do, I think, to keep to keep this one on rails. It's going to be really, we're going to be here for 6 hours for part one.
Entirely plausible.
Okay. Okay.
We're having a 12-course dinner at the table of success.
Yeah, you are the maitre d' at the restaurant of podcasts, and we are dining well.
So, Maddie saying so count one. So we have to understand that Eric Adams is maybe one of the more like prolific liars and self-aggrandizers to like maybe ever hold the office of mayor in New York City.
Which is saying something.
Which is really impressive. But most of his biographical details I could find were mostly from like a flurry of like very hagiographic pieces during the 2021 mayoral election, which were all very like serving his tidy little narrative about how he was going to reform the NYPD from the inside, whatever, because he was very popular with the press at the time. Anyways, so here's what I got. He was born in Brownsville, Brooklyn in 1960, which is it is long considered the capital, the murder capital of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
High dropout rates in school.
In many ways, the New York City of murder.
Yeah, it's the murderopolis of New York in a lot of ways. Which
I haven't been to see Murderopolis yet, and I hear very mixed reviews, you know?
It's really, I think it's worth watching. It's very messy. There actually is a murder in it. Okay, so it's got very poor public health even besides that, like a lot of poor neighborhoods in New York. You know, poverty, gang, drug-related violence, etc. When he was eight, his family moved to the safer and quieter Jamaica, Queens. I'm taking liberally here from an Atlantic article from Fox News contributor Juan Williams titled, quote, Eric Adams is making white liberals squirm.
I mean, in the sense of like squirming into indicting him, I guess.
Yeah. But this is from the sort of period of like
they can't indict you if you're doing the worm. That's what I heard.
Eric Adams break dancing out to his own customized Empire State of Mind.
Yeah, in this article, he charged that by the time he arrived in 1968, Jamaica was quote changing for the worse. By the time he was 14, he was in a gang called the Seven Crowns, named for the Scotch brand. Uh-huh. According to Adams, in a brawl with the Savage Skulls, which is a real gang. Which is a mostly black and Latino gang from the Bronx that would wear like Nazi stuff.
What?
Yeah, they're the sort of the cognitive dissonance boys.
That's so surreal. Like, Eric Adams was in like the second reel of The Warriors, is
very
what
much,
you're telling
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like, I imagine the Savage Skulls were not really looking at ideological consistency so much as, like, these are the baddest guys from history.
Oh, they were trying to upset everybody.
Oh, like all the Eastern European guys who are like, I think the Nazis were, like, good at war. So, yes. Like, yeah, sure.
Good at war, hated the Russians, good enough for me.
Yeah, they're very much doing, are you triggered?
Also, I agree with them on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, this is so, like, one of the baseball guys from the Warriors just becomes mayor of New York City.
The baseball furies.
Yeah.
Of success. Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah, Eric Adams opens a press conference by banging two beer bottles together on his fingers.
I would really like a kind of a Warriors-style gang where their whole bit is mayors. They've all got the sashes. Like, they're coming out of the hideout. They're all putting on the mayoral sashes.
That's the shirt for the episode, obviously. Okay, so, but...
Hey, baby New Year, get him! Like that? this is our pal, Big Boris. You don't want to piss off Big Boris.
Anyways, during that brawl with the Nazi guys, someone hit him in the back of the head with a bat with a nail in it.
And his life was never the same.
Yeah, yes. But the same article says that at the age of 15,
he was just like a normal, like a sort of normal Brownsville kid who was dabbling in the Seven Crowns or whatever. And he was just going to grow up to maybe get out of it and then like do whatever job he would have done. But instead he got hit in the back of the head.
Yeah, but instead someone hits him in the back of the head and it perfectly, precisely obliterates the part of the brain that makes you normal.
Yeah, he's got it lodged in there like Phineas Gage.
His brain was rearranged permanently. A bunch of neurons disconnected and reconnected. And like he now has the synaptic pattern of Mayer.
Yeah, the camera zooms in through the wound and around the brain, like with all the electricity going on.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. This is a theory that I've been meaning to get to on this podcast for a while, which is that Mayer is not an elected office, right? As Eric Adams understands deeply, Mayer is a state of mind.
Assigned mayor at birth.
Correct. Yeah. You don't get elected mayor. Mayors are not like, you know, they're not made. They're born, or I guess in this case, reborn by a kind of like Nazi-themed gang neurosurgeon who just perfectly obliterates the back of your head.
Yeah. Hey, non-denominational Dr. Mangala, get him.
I hate those Simpsons Treehouse of Horror end credits. Non-denominational Josef Mangala.
Okay.
So I just like all of his neurons just also sprout sashes.
Little top hats. Okay.
Aw.
So at the age of 15, he was known as, I'm quoting from the article here, a tough little guy.
Okay.
He was arrested in 1976. He was taken by an older crowd when hanging out at a strip club.
Mm-hmm.
This is all like genuinely so traumatic and like bad for like any kid, right?
Yeah. So he was hanging out with one of the workers at the strip club. Him and his brother had let themselves into this the stripper's apartment, and they stole a TV set and a money order.
Uh-huh.
And the police caught on to Eric when he tried to cash the money order, and him and his brother were arrested. And this is sort of like his origin story, is that him and his brother, while under in police custody, they were beaten by the NYPD, where he says they were beaten by two white NYPD officers until a black officer put a stop to it. And him and his brother left with a great hatred of cops.
Understandably. I mean, Yeah. And also, incidentally, just doubling down on the like whole traumatic brain injury thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and this is very much like his, again, like his big origin story when he's trying to get elected is, I am a cop who was beaten by the cops. I understand this issue from all sides in a way that nobody else possibly can. Like, I grew up as a young black man in like the bad time, like the bad old days of New York, and I'm a cop now. So I understand this thing in a way that the abolish, the protesters, all these people in the streets cannot possibly understand.
Uh-huh. So what you're saying is Eric Adams is a wear cop.
Yes, that's it. That's what I said. I said he's cop.
It's more like he's kind of like, he's able to like, he has a kind of transdimensional understanding of this that eludes mortals who never became cops, right? Because like a lot of people have been beaten by cops, a lot of people have been cops, but the Venn diagram doesn't have a huge overlap, you know?
It feels a little bit like the end of the argument that's like, you can't talk to me about gun control unless you can assemble this AR-14. AR-15 blindfolded. I don't know if an AR-14 is real. It might be. Don't tell me. I'm not curious.
Okay.
I'm not curious about it. you just sit there stewing for the rest of the hour about the guns that you know
November,
about.
November, just say if it's real or real? Not.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. November just, she just ran out. She's gone. She took her mic with her. Okay.
John Browning being like, very few people have been like both shot by guns and have designed a gun. Therefore, I'm like better equipped.
Yeah. In the Atlantic again, he says, Eric was drawn to power. He thought the cops had a great hustle. He was deeply impressed that a black cop in the station house had enough clout to tell white cops to stop beating two black kids.
This isn't like a sort of like naive understanding from like a guy who is in a gang to be like, holy shit, these guys are a way better gang than us.
Yeah, they're like they're the gang.
Yeah.
This black guy was able to go amongst these white guys and stop this. He got juice. J-U-I-C-E, as the kids would say, Adams told me in 1999. Uh-huh.
He experienced NYPD WASTA and was therefore like drawn into this organization.
Yeah. So he decides that he wants to become a cop as well. He says that he wanted the free stuff and he wanted to be feared. Uh-huh. Two things that come back.
More honest about those motivations than about a billion other people who become cops for those reasons.
Yeah.
Like, you would think maybe that the whole like gang member, like theft thing might militate against being a cop, but I'm glad that they, you know.
Yeah.
He sees it as just a continuation of what he was doing, but it's like, I get to administer the beating.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, that's so much better.
Yeah.
And you're saying the state has a monopoly on administering the beatings. May I administer them on your behalf?
Yeah.
Yeah. A guy who realizes that the only game in town, you know, is the cops.
Yeah. He also wanted to be, he claims, he wanted to be a hero in his neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
But he also wanted free stuff and to be feared.
He wanted free stuff, which comes back later.
I mean, who wouldn't want all three of those things, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, I love to be adored and to be given free stuff. I don't want to be feared because I'm normal. But
being the kind of like Julius Caesar or like Augustus of Brownsville, where I'm like, you know, I'm loved, but I'm also feared.
The difference between him and like Vito Corleone in Godfather 2 is the coat.
Mm.
That's the difference between him and Vito Corleone in The Godfather 2.
Correct.
Is the outfit.
Well, Vito Corleone didn't get hit in the back of the head with the like mayor bat.
That's true.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Godfather 3. I don't know if he becomes a mayor in that.
Not really.
Yeah, it's in the secret. If you watch Megalopolis backwards, it actually does answer that question.
Yeah. Let your haters become your waiters when you sit at the toilet of gun. that one ran out of steam. And for that,
I really like the toilet of gun.
The toilet of gun. So he doesn't have good grades in school, but he applies to enter the NYPD Academy anyways, which has never happened before. He's the first dumb guy to get into the NYPD Academy.
Yeah, previously they're all sitting around talking about like Camus in the like precinct.
Yeah, I was going to say most of them are talking about Sartre.
Mm.
Hey, have you ever considered that the school is quite a bit like what we do?
Fuck, that's good. Okay. Wow.
He's got a good NYPD voice. It's crazy.
That's really good. I think an important thing also to mention in terms of like the sort of like ocean currents of history here is, you know, at this point, the NYPD is finally starting to allow black men to be officers after for most of the history. It was like a way for your sort of like white ethnics to enter the middle class, but they kept black people out. But the late 70s, they needed cops badly and they started to allow black men in finally. So there's this growing cadre of black men finally allowed in the force. He tells a story about early in his career, he was chasing down a couple of perps in plain clothes and a bunch of white officers pulled a gun on him, despite him telling them in secret cop code.
He got SERPA code.
He did.
He got SERPA code.
Yeah, he claims that he told them in secret cop code that he was undercover, which is, quote, I'm on the job, which is an incredible thing to remember for later.
I'm undercover.
Hello, I'm an undercover police officer, quote unquote.
He was the only cop to actually believe the if they ask you if you're an undercover cop, you legally have to tell them thing. He was the only person to believe that and be an undercover cop.
Yeah, this incident, of course, ended when another black officer got them to back off. He keeps returning to these kinds of stories during his rise. The implicit meaning, of course, being you can trust the NYPD if I'm in charge of it.
Mm.
And by 1993, he's a sergeant and chair of something called the Grand Council of the Guardians.
Oh, I think they were declared a terrorist organization by the UK last year.
Yeah, the IDF has launched several ballistic missiles at these guys.
That's right. They are the fraternal organization of black officers in the NYPD.
They're actually supporting another organization of police officers in South Jersey as a proxy.
It's really cool, and I say cool in a way that suggests that it isn't cool, that everything in America has like a bunch of secret societies, but then it also has secret society brackets black because of segregation.
Yes.
like Prince Hall Masons and stuff, where it's like, oh yeah, there's also this like black version of this that's in some ways like way worse internally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's fine, you know. No reason to feel strange about that,
whatever.
Mm.
So there's a bit around this time that comes back to haunt him a little bit later in his political career, is where he appears on stage with Louis Farrakhan and played a horrible stinger who put flashlights under our chins.
I don't have that. All I have is...
Have your haters become your waiters when you sit down at the table of success.
He sits on the stage of public appearance with Louis Farrakhan, which causes a slight frou-frou-all.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
He tries to run for Congress in 1984, but he condemns the incumbent, Major Owens, for denouncing Farrakhan, but doesn't get enough signatures to get on the ballot.
Yeah. He rose relatively high in the NYPD, right? Like, he was a captain in the Transit Bureau.
Yeah.
So, which will prefigure a whole bunch of being insane about subways as well.
After a friend of the show and former guest Rudy Giuliani takes over.
Friggin' Giuliani
himself. Adams founded a new organization of black officers called 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement Who Care, all capitalized.
It really trips off the tongue.
Trippingly.
Uh-huh.
You know, and their whole thing was to oppose like the sort of racialized police brutality we talked a little bit about under Giuliani. But mostly it seemed to be about educating young men on how to remain completely docile if they were getting pulled over.
Uh-huh.
Which, if you've been keeping up with the American news for the last 100 to 200 years, doesn't super work.
Yeah, the whole kind of like simply react in like no, like have no reactions whatsoever.
Yeah,
you know?
And the cops can't do anything to you and won't.
It was a great way to center Bi-Luke voices, though.
Bi-Luke.
Yeah, there we go. Bi-Luke.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, he agreed with the campaign against so-called like quality of life crimes, your broken windows stuff, but disagreed with the racial overtones, which is his public position, which is insane.
Yeah, the kind of radical centrism.
Radical,
you know?
Why can't
we do broken windows policing on like rich white people neighborhoods?
Yeah.
Which is a funny idea. That genuinely, like,
yeah, but that's like what he. That is like that is his basic political core is like, what if we did stop and frisk to everybody? That's how
even the cop gets in trouble.
We need to get 100 police officers in Murray Hill alone doing broken windows policing.
This is so insane that I see why it's kind of compelling to be like, in cop world, everyone's a cop. Mm-hmm. You would get out of bed, get dressed in your cop uniform, get into your cop car and like respond to the scene of you going to work as a cop.
Yeah.
And you're constantly arresting everybody and being arrested by everyone else for like misdemeanors and minor infractions.
Yeah.
You know everybody by like body outline because you've frisked and been frisked by everyone you've ever passed.
Imagine the intimacy of that you've frisked everybody you've ever met. Like,
he's got like the daredevil vision because he's frisked everybody in the city.
Yeah, and you won't even have time to do any crimes because you have so much paperwork to do from being a cop, which is your job.
Yeah, everybody has a captain that's up their ass.
Eric Adams was going to be the captain who was up New York City's entire ass.
Yeah. Just to sort of like get through the rest of his police career here, he passes the lieutenant exam twice but doesn't get called up. He says it's because of his propensity to speak out against the department.
I think it's just because there were no ships at the time. And also like all the people who were getting called up to lieutenants, like, they'd been on ships' books since they were like 2 years
old.
It's
crazy how well the NYPD mirrors the Royal Navy in like 1805.
He ends up being promoted.
Oh, wish me joy, sir. I've just been made lieutenant in Brownsville.
He was post-captain of the Transit Bureau.
Okay. If I'm not allowed to talk about Dune, you guys are not allowed to talk about Aubrey Maturin.
I've never said you're not allowed to talk about Dune.
I've encouraged you to talk about
Dune. Well, I'm not. Well, fine. Talk a little bit more about Aubrey Maturin, I guess. No, I'm not. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. So.
The count goes up to two.
You know, he, this is sort of like, you know, a land of contradictions for this gentleman. In 1999, he was saying stuff like, the father of blue-collar crime is white-collar crime, which is correct.
True. So true.
Correct.
Correctamundo. But he also described, quote, his constituency, which is an insane thing to say when you're a cop, is not people who bum up the police department and shout, kill the pigs. But my constituency is people getting up when that alarm clock goes off, getting their kids dressed and making sure their butts are in school. So he's already very like heavy on like respectability stuff.
Sure.
At this time.
Mm-hmm. I'm always saying bum up the police department. That's a thing I'm so often saying.
Yeah.
I mean, he's up everyone's ass, right? He's the captain that's up everyone's ass.
Yeah. In 2006, he is a captain at this point. He is investigated by the NYPD for appearing on TV and criticizing future guest of the show, Michael Bloomberg, over his handling of a terror threat.
It really seems like he just wants to be a politician and basically checks out of being a cop, or like he tries to fold in being as much of a politician as he can into being a cop, thus the like my constituency.
It seems like he like gave some wrong information to the public that was not supposed to be out there, and he got investigated. He was charged with disseminating misinformation, divulging official police business, and speaking as representative of the department without permission.
I just don't think it's believable that Eric Adams would have disseminated misinformation or said anything that's not true.
Yeah. No,
he was found
not.
Guilty of speaking as a representative of the department without permission, and then retired.
Ooh.
You know, at this point, he was close enough to the like the Brooklyn Democratic machine and had his eye on the mayorship.
Mm. So disgraced former cop is like not enough of an impediment to like.
No, because you could just say, I'm a cop. I was a cop and I got fired for truth.
Yeah, I got fired over, so they like, you know, they fisted me up.
Basically, he runs for the New York State Senate, representing his old neighborhood of Brownsville and a couple other neighborhoods around there. And that's when he truly unleashes a lot of what we can call Eric Adams madness.
Is this when he grows the little pencil mustache?
I believe so. I don't have a timeline of the mustache in the notes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's important to me because at some point he grows the little mustache. He's like always been bald as far as I can tell, just like started shaving his head really early.
Yeah.
And just as soon as he got into politics, spent a lot of time in like nightclubs and like going out and just kind of like doing pickup artist shit, really, of which I consider the little pencil mustache to be a part.
Yeah.
When you say pencil mustache, do you mean this one or this
not
one?
Not the Hitler. No, not the Hitler. The Maurice Chevalier. The like, the little like thin horizontal line.
Yeah.
Yes. So he sort of looks like the Mask of Zorro, basically.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. It's a little bit swashbuckly, you know?
Gotcha. Swashbuckle. Okay. I'm interested.
Oh God.
The secret word? Was that the secret word?
Pulling the big break.
I was speaking to you in secret cop code to indicate that I'm a cop. by using the normal word swashbuckle in a sentence.
I'm indicating to you that I've also read the Aubrey Matron books. So I'm looking at the clock and having a panic attack. Okay. So around this time, some early Eric Adams hits, Stop the SAG was his first big foray into the public eye, which he took out of these bizarre billboards around Brooklyn that said, Stop the SAG. And it was like, pull up your pants.
Fuck a Screen Actors Guild.
Like, yeah.
No, because I remember like it was a thing. It was in at the time to like wear your pants really low.
Yeah.
Right. And this was immediately a like racialized thing.
Yes. And his whole thing was, this will get you killed. I'm quoting here from a Gothamist article from the time, by a writer named Jaya Saxena, who I've never met and I'm not married to, and wrote this article.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, prior to the sagging pants, it was, this is from Eric Adams. Prior to the sagging pants, it was the shoestrings out of sneakers. All this is born out of prison. We took the shoestrings and the belt from the prisoners. This is probably not a perfect science, but if you start looking at how your child is dressing, is an indicator of who his friends are and what group he's associated with. It's all in the clothing. So it's like, this is like, these pants will kill you.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of this along the lines of like, your kid is going to become like a bad kid and get involved in like drugs and gangs and
precisely
shit.
Precisely. Right? This is around the time where he cuts the very famous Contraband video.
Oh, yeah. Search your child's room. Search your child's
popular knapsack with many different locations.
And if you do search the popular knapsack with many different locations, you might find
something simple as a crack pipe.
A really important thing about that video, the clips that you were playing, is you can hear this like score in the background.
Yeah.
There's like this very bizarre, disconnected score about it.
It's like royalty, like license-free guitar music, I guess.
Yeah.
Over him being like, why don't you like cut open all of your kids' pillows to make sure that she doesn't have a gun in there?
It is bizarre. It is like, look behind the television. That's where they're keeping their crack cocaine. Like, it's very bizarre. It is like, it's unscripted.
This way of speaking, which gives you sentences like something simple as a crack pipe.
Yeah, I found a Vice interview with the guy who filmed it. And it says that the video was filmed by Matthew Kulvicki, who worked as the director of production for the New York State Senate at the time. According to Kulvicki, Adams gave him virtually no time to prepare. Instead, he just told Kulvicki to show up at his apartment ready to shoot.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's right, though, because all Eric Adams had to do is just sink into mayor space and then just open his eyes and begin to say stuff like something as simple as a crack pipe. Or, for example, a place to store bullets is behind a picture frame.
Mayor space is very intense and you need a lot of aftercare after it, usually in like federal prison.
You've got a revolver in your pillow. Apparently the music is there because he, quote, had to put something over it because he took these long pauses to look around the place, trying to remember where he hid whatever thing. So that means while the camera guy is on his way to Adams's apartment, Eric Adams is like stashing pistols in pillowcases and putting fake crack in the fucking backpack. Like running around.
What
his
if
apartment
he didn't
hiding.
Find all of what? What if he didn't find all of what he stored and was like, "Yeah, that's good enough," and then he's planted drugs in his own kid?
Do you think he was using real drugs for realism?
There are so many different locations in that popular knapsack is the thing.
Sorry. You're right. But like planted a gun on his own kid then.
Behind a picture frame, you can find bullets. Mr. Adams said, finding bullets behind a picture frame. What appeared to be his own home. This is from the New York Times.
There are bullets behind picture frames everywhere for those with eyes to see.
he pushed for legislative pay raises as a freshman, state senator in 2007. Shouting from the Senate floor, "Show me the money!" in 2007.
Uh-huh. that's such a perfect dumb guy movie as well. Jerry Maguire for him to like.
Yeah, for him to be. I mean, he's the Ralph Cifaretto of the New York State Senate. Mm. But he's swapped in Jerry Maguire for Gladiator.
I was elected to be the state senator with swag, like Jerry Maguire would have been if he was a disgraced police officer.
That's right. This is also when a little grift begins, where he became the chairman of the Senate's Committee on Racing, Gaming, and Wagering, where he raised money prodigiously from the industry. Lawmakers and lobbyists praised him as curious and engaged, willing to spend hours on the road visiting racetracks and conveying deep interest in his audience. Quote, "I was really impressed with how smart and inquisitive he was," said Rory Whelan, a Republican lobbyist who hosted fundraisers for him. "Then I realized, okay, of course, he's a former police officer. He asks a lot of questions.
Such as, how much are you giving me? Uh-huh. In what form will I receive my bribe?
Such as, where's the money? When will I receive the money?"
Republican gambling lobbyist for this in the like New York State Senate is such a uniquely rancid vibe as well.
Yeah, so like him and a bunch of the other casino, the people in the Senate Committee on Racing, Gaming, and Wagering ended up under investigation by the state inspector for dealing in bribes. They had enough evidence that they referred it to the feds, but it never went anywhere. Which is like my time machine moment, is like federal investigation of Eric Adams in 2010, please.
Uh-huh.
But to be fair, this is to be fair corner. We must. He voted for marriage equality before it was legal nationally. He authored some bills expanding affordable housing for veterans. He provided key testimony against the NYPD, where stop and frisk was ruled unconstitutional. The judge cited his testimony specifically. This comes back insanely because guess who brought stop and frisk back? But he's in office.
Incredible.
Well, it's like CrossFit. You're trying to do muscle confusion for like the general population.
He's doing basically morals confusion at this point.
It's like Napoleon. You know, the ancien regime is fucking gone, right? But all of its worst excesses are going to come back when they're personally convenient to me.
Yeah, at Napoleon's table. But this is also like sort of a recurring theme in Eric Adams, is he has surrounded himself with the worst fucking people on earth, like evil people and also petty grifters, whatever. His buddy Hiram Montserrat was expelled from the Senate after being convicted of a misdemeanor assault, which included dragging his girlfriend down a hallway and slashing her with a piece of glass. He was one of the very few state senators to oppose the measure getting out of him. He helped install this former Senate Majority Leader John Sampson, who he helped install, but then he also tried to keep in when he was removed for a bunch of ethics violations. He was later tried and convicted by the feds for embezzlement.
All of these guys have like strongly ethics violation names, and I don't really know what I mean by that, other than the fact that a state senator being called something like John Sampson.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's you can really imagine the phrase. The embattled Samson, 54.
The embattled Montserrat. So this is also when the trips begin. The trips.
You know, Istanbul is always the first stop.
But first, Seoul was the first stop, baby. In 2011, him and Mr. Samson and his girlfriend, Tracy Collins, and an energy lobbyist all went to Korea in 2011 on what seemed like an official trip, but they wouldn't tell anybody what about.
How come you think they came back looking so good, but then couldn't frown?
That's right. They all got those weird like the donuts on their forehead that people were doing for about 6 months around then.
Yeah. No, I just the South Korean lobbyists being like, we have to entertain these embattled oafs from New York City. To what end? What did South Korea want with them? Like, do
nobody
we know?
Fucking knows.
Surely, like. One thing South Korea does is a lot of investing abroad.
Mm.
So I'm especially because an energy lobbyist was there.
Yeah, and John Sampson after he got ousted.
Oh, after he was ousted, useful is he?
I don't know.
What does he know? Weird.
He knows Korean.
We like the Sampson guy. Yeah.
He's just a good hang.
So he becomes borough president in 2013, clearly with his eye on again the mayor's throne of New York.
Borough president of Brooklyn, right?
The borough president of Brooklyn, which very quickly, I mentioned this before on other podcasts, it is not a real job. In 1990, they took away all the power of borough presidents of New York, and it is a parade position. It's you operate a big pair of scissors.
Neat. He operated that pair of scissors more confusingly than anyone else to hold that job.
Yeah, like he basically like got really into veganism as borough president. That was his big thing because he was diagnosed diabetic and became a big vegan guy. Comes back. Again, though, trips. He was obsessed with sister cities. You know, sister cities?
Oh, sure. I love a sister city. When a city is twinned with somewhere.
Yeah, and they're just like, hey, did you know Zagreb and Des Moines, Iowa are friends? And it's like, okay, sure.
Yeah, I've drawn my city as like a woman, and I've drawn your city as a woman, and they're sisters.
And they're sisters. He got at least five of those going with Brooklyn specifically. He traveled to Senegal, Turkey, Cuba, Jordan, Saudi, the UAE, Oman in official capacity, and also China.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he went to Turkey there 8 times, he said, while Brooklyn borough president.
This is when, as we later discover, like various Turkish lobbyists are circling him.
Yeah.
Like sharks circling a gigantic stake that's just been dumped into the water.
Yeah, this is when he starts rowing his little boat down the Bosphorus every day of the year.
Something that's really funny as well is that he gets really into flag raising. I just know about this off the dome because I've been reading about the indictments. He gets so into like raising the flags of like different countries in order to celebrate like Brooklyn's, you know, say as a like Azeri community, right? Mm-hmm. Because like New York City, it's got like somebody from everywhere in the world. And he will raise a flag for it. And one of his successes as Brooklyn borough president is like, realized that when he got into office and the schedule hadn't changed, he had to abolish flag raising on the basis that it was technically illegal purely because Eric Adams' precedent would have had him doing so much flag raising, he wouldn't have time to do anything else.
It's amazing. That same Brooklyn borough president.
At that point, you're just doing naval signaling as well. Mayor in distress.
That same borough president, incredibly, when he came in, had to return like a golden tea set that he just found in his office.
What, that Eric Adams forgot?
Yeah.
Yeah, 365 days of flag raising.
Yeah, 365 day flag boy. Bumping that. Raising that. So a part of this whole thing with his international whatever is that he went to China 7 times as a Brooklyn borough president trying to get one of those like Chinatown archways built in Sunset Park, which is like Brooklyn's Chinatown.
Uh-huh.
It was this huge debacle. It cost a lot of money. They were like, it was like all he wanted to do was borough president and never got done.
Thomas Heatherwick was involved.
He claimed he was going to retire in Israel and Lebanon and Azerbaijan.
you can just travel, you know.
Yeah, at the Baku Palace restaurant in Cheapshead Bay, which is in Brooklyn, in 2018, he said, when I retire from government, I'm going to live in Baku.
That might still be true.
That might still be. Yeah. Now, honestly, I mean, what's our extradition with them like?
Yeah, if he can get out of the country, like, he could he would have such a good time, like, at the Baku Grand Prix, one of the
Eric Adams shaped diplomatic bag leaving from the Azeri embassy to Baku.
Yeah.
The one guy to leave an embassy in a suitcase who it's actually good for him.
Very good.
Very good. I want to talk very quickly about what is called the rat soup incident, which was my introduction to Eric Adams and knowing about who he was.
Uh-huh.
That was your version of him getting hit on the head with that bat.
Yes. So yeah. This is in...
he got hit in the head with a rat.
2019. Mm-hmm. I know about this because I know some people working at the website Gothamist. And one day, the entire local press is called to Borough Hall in Brooklyn. And there, Eric Adams has decided that he has solved... This is also the beginning of... He hates rats. He hates them. Hates rats. He's very anti-rat. Mm. He's the first mayor to hate rats.
That's reasonable, I guess. I mean,
it's trillions of New York City citizens, but sure, that you're trying to eradicate from the rat community, but okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, doing a rat flag raising over Brooklyn Borough Hall.
You know, New York is a... anyways. So he says that he has solved the rat problem for New York City. And he's going to demonstrate it, which is, he does not say, I'm working with this company, we're going to install these things. He's like, no, I've installed these traps all over Borough Hall. And they are sort of like contractor buckets with lids that if something steps onto the lid of the contractor bucket, it swings in and drops the thing into what's inside the bucket. Now, and they put, and they put some food or whatever on top of the lid. So a rat will go onto it and fall in. And what is inside of it is a sort of poison goo. And what happens is it drowns the rats in the poison goo. And to show off that this is how it works, he did not like show a diagram. He got one of the buckets, he opened it up, and he started ladling possibly months old dead rats out with a ladle and showing them to the press.
We got to get this guy into higher office.
Yeah. Here's a quote from the article from, was it Jake Offenhart's? Yeah. For what seemed like a very long time, we gazed upon dozens of bloated rat corpses bobbing around in this thick cocktail of death. Their clumps of fur were tinged green by the alcohol solution, into which they'd been lured and subsequently drowned at some point over the last month. We were told they would not smell, and while it was not overpowering, there was definitely a smell. Eventually, the sodden carcasses were fished out with a ladle and dropped into a trash bag. They made a sad, waterlogged noise. Plop.
Now that's journalism. That's beautiful writing.
Yeah.
This is a profoundly strange man.
Yes.
Imagine waking up and being like, all right, I know what I want to be. I want to be powerful. I want to be feared. I want to be a hero. I want free stuff. What am I going to do today?
Yeah, this is my rat ladle. Let me just grab my rat ladle that's going to inculcate the spirit of like civic respect I deserve.
Yeah. Today is a big day in front of the cameras for me. When I'm going to be like announcing my crusade against the rats, and how I'm going to do that is by like showing people a bunch of decaying corpses.
Oh my God.
This is not a well man in a lot of ways.
This is not a well man. Okay. So he decides, he gets in a little bit of trouble. He visited Israel a lot. He loved Uber. He establishes the One Brooklyn Fund, which is a nonprofit, which was criticized as a conduit for pay-to-play contributions from developers and lobbyists, a theme. He was investigated twice by the city over the fundraising, one for licensing the Brooklyn Borough Hall for the event without, you know, for his own fucking thing.
Just like, hey, come to Borough Hall, it'll be cool. Don't mind the rat buckets.
Don't mind, yeah, just step around those. Don't step into them because your foot will fall. It is the dip from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and you can't put your foot in there.
I got a cartoon foot. I'm just walking in with one cartoon boot.
New York City is the Toontown of America.
Honestly.
Raising the Warner Brothers flag over.
And the Disney flag. Don't forget, they gotta be equal time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's 2021, and there is a new mayoral election. Future friend of the show, Bill de Blasio, a sleepy oaf, is exiting office. There were 13 candidates on the ballot in a really crowded field. This is also
it was like ranked preference voting as well, right?
It was the first time they ever did ranked preference in New York. A lot of people didn't understand how it worked and thought they had to rank everybody. But like, it was a crazy time. The world was in 2020 to 2021 in New York City was like the epicenter of the pandemic. It is hard to describe to you as someone who lives here in the Big Apple, New York City, go Knicks, go Mets, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to describe to you how much it felt like the world was ending.
Mm.
And like, people were insane. Everything was nuts. You heard sirens all day, every day.
I remember like corpse freezers.
There were corpse freezers.
I remember the front page of the New York Times. There was just a list of dead people.
Yeah.
Oomphy, who was like a paramedic in New York City, was talking about how it was just like you press button on radio, receive person who dies of COVID, press button on radio, receive person who dies of COVID all day, every day.
Yeah, it felt like the apocalypse. You could like drive from like one end of the city to the other end clear in like 15 minutes because there was nobody on the road because all the rich people fled and they're the only people with cars. So 13 candidates on the ballot, really crowded field. The contenders aside from Adam were Catherine Garcia, who was like the liberals pick, which was like she got the New York Times, you know, thing.
Endorsement.
Sorry. Thank you. She was a former sanitation commissioner. Maya Wiley got the SEIU endorsement, which is like the big catch-all union around here, which is like the progressive big thing to get. Diane Morales had some real progressive bona fides, but she union busted her own staff.
I remember this.
Which was we could sink your campaign in 2021 because everyone was like very progressive for about 6 months. Andrew Yang was his big competitor right at the beginning of things. Remember him?
God,
Remember Andrew Yang?
He was finally going to take politics forward. I remember that.
That's right. He was wearing a blue hat and that was going to solve the problems. But him and Yang like hated each other because they were trying to occupy the insane guy position. You know,
also someone else going for that wasn't the fucking Guardian Angels guy in the election.
So Curtis Sliwa, Republican nominee.
Okay,
and they had a sort of I cannot get into Curtis Sliwa on this fucking episode because we'll be here for 6 hours because he's been a guy longer than I've been alive in New York City, and I know so much about him, and he loves cats. Also, he's insane. He's like a vigilante man. Google the Guardian Angels and go insane for the rest of your day after you finish the episode.
They were in London for a bit. They used to be a thing here.
They spelled the Guardian Angels with an extra U.
You'll never guess where it is.
You'll never guess. But him and Yang used to like get in real tangles on the debate stage. And also like the Captain's Union endorsed Yang and not Adams. And then Adams was like, I didn't even want it actually. And Yang was like, I know you wanted it. They told me. And then they yelled at each other. And then later Eric Adams was like, I wasn't yelling. I was meditating.
Maybe you only heard yelling because of the yelling in your own head.
Yeah. You know, and then he wants to bring back stop and frisk, calling it stop, question and frisk.
Uh-huh. That's better apparently.
Yes. We are stopping and frisking people based on their ethnicities and the communities they were in. That will never happen under my administration. Yeah. So he promises to stop and frisk everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was definitely the big choice, the choice of like the
let
real estate.
Let the traitors be your perpetrators at the Wall Street of crime. Mm. He said,
That's a direct quote from him. Yeah.
That's a direct quote from Eric Adams.
He was definitely the choice of like the real estate lobby and like moneyed people.
Yeah. Cause he's so bribable.
Yeah. He's like walking around wearing a sandwich board that says, please bribe me. I'm in it for the bribes actually.
It's like everybody who's anybody in New York would know that he's been like flying to Santiago via Istanbul for a while because he loves getting bribed.
Yeah.
It's like he's in it for this. You could bribe him with Monopoly money, I think, because he just loves being bribed.
Yeah. Mm. It's a kind of swag.
Yeah. During the election, he also, this is when the Where Does Eric Adams Live saga begins.
Oh, I remember this.
He appears most of the political press. It seems obvious that him and his partner, Tracy Collins, are living in Fort Lee, New Jersey, right across the river. But to prove he was a city resident a month before the primary, he gave the press a tour of his quote Brooklyn apartment, which is obviously where his son's. It's like full of like sneakers. There's like the world's largest salmon steak in the fridge. He's a vegan.
My time machine moment for investigative journalism is when he's showing off the sneakers and the reporters are asking him, like, are these yours? Are these your sneakers? And he's like, yeah, these are my like perfect new Air Force Ones. But try on the shoes.
Yeah.
Eric Adams, try on the shoes.
No, you don't understand. You need to get shoes for the size you want to be.
The size of the shoe reflects the like immensity of my soul.
Yeah. Some intrepid reporters from New York Magazine at this time stake out the apartment, and he does show up there driving down the sidewalk.
Why?
Because he's a cop. And if you walk around the outer boroughs, especially in the outer boroughs, cop cars are just parked on the sidewalk all the time. Cops are just like, I can go wherever I want. There's a bike lane outside my house. Cop cars go down it the wrong way constantly.
Cool.
Yeah. It's very cool stuff. This is also when he gives my personal favorite Eric Adams quote that I cannot skip, which is that he claimed in a Vanity Fair interview that his favorite concert ever was a performance in Brooklyn by Curtis Mayfield, in which a lighting rig fell on him, paralyzing him before he performed. Here's a quote. My favorite concert. Eric, Curtis Mayfield, the Wingate concert series. At that concert, there was a rainstorm and the lights fell on Curtis Mayfield and they actually paralyzed him at that concert. He died a few years ago, but it was an amazing concert before that happened. Just so unfortunate. What? He's referring to the sound check? I don't know what he's talking about.
He likes to be a part of history. He's like, hey, you know what? History happened at that concert. And, you know, usually, you know, if you just go see, when I would go see The Weeknd perform at One Oak, it's like, well, I don't really mind. It's like, it's a good enough performance, but nothing about like anyone's life was changed there. Yeah. However.
Yeah. Now a concert where someone gets paralyzed for life, that's something, you know?
Like, yeah. So this is all before he gets elected, by the way.
How could anyone vote for this man?
He wins the ranked choice after like a couple of rounds of eliminations in the ranked choice. You know, it's one vote, but then there's a bunch of rounds of eliminations.
Yeah.
And he kind of ekes out a victory. He coasts a victory over the insane man, Curtis Sliwa, and he becomes the mayor of New York City. Insanely.
I have to ask a question here at this point, which Please. Is I don't follow New York City politics closely other than just the sort of the clowning about of Eric Adams.
Yeah.
So what I want to know is like other people seemed more reasonably placed for either machine politics or kind of that 6 months when everyone was progressive to like win them the nomination. Mm-hmm. What happened to all the people who should have won? How come it went to the kids' table?
Yeah, so I think what happened was there were so many candidates that there was like two really pretty good progressive candidates who split that vote.
Tale as old as time.
Yeah, and then I think it just sort of like, I think again, people thought they had to rank everybody, which is a theory I've been seeing floating around there because it was the first time they'd ever done ranked voting and America doesn't really have that. In most elections, it was my first
time.
People
love to use it for like mayoral votes and it's always terrible. Same for Boris.
I mean, I think it'd be better than the way it was working here generally. I think I have better, higher hopes for the next election. But, you know, so I think what happened was there was a tremendous amount of vote splitting. There were too many candidates. It was a really truncated, weird election. I think everyone was also insane. Like, I'd love to tell you what happened, but this is also from a period of my life where nobody I know, including myself, was making memories.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I was reading something I wrote with a couple of friends the other day that we wrote like 2020 into 2021. And I was reading it and I was like, I don't know who wrote these jokes. I don't remember writing these. It's like a ghost had inhabited my body.
It's cool how the world kind of ended. Like,
it very much did. And I think it was just like, I think he snuck in kind of by accident. But he acted like he had a mandate and he gets all these, there's all this press about how he is like the future of democratic politics at this time.
But this is why we know like from the indictments now that like Turkish lobbyists are texting each other like this guy's going to be president.
Yeah. They're also referring to him as the president because when he was the borough president, I think he made people refer to him as President Adams.
As he should have. That's right.
Of course, because he wants to be loved and also feared.
That's right. He made all the rats refer to him as Mr. President. So he took his first three mayoral paychecks in cryptocurrency.
I remember this too.
I went and checked on this. He actually did do it. The Incredible. New York City had to put out a press release about it that said, due to U.S. Department of Labor regulations, New York City cannot pay employees in cryptocurrency. By using a cryptocurrency exchange, anyone in the U.S. dollars can have funds converted into crypto before funds are deposited into their account. So like the office had to be like, he's not actually getting paid in crypto. Like, yeah, it's illegal.
This is like Not the first nor the last sort of financial irregularity with Eric Adams' time as mayor of New York City.
Yeah, that Atlantic article is from around now. And yeah, like the whole future of the Democratic Party thing, it's like, it's all articles like that, that are just like, they are not comfortable with the current language, or they, you know, they're not comfortable with Eric Adams because he didn't win Manhattan's white affluent neighborhoods. He's like for the people or whatever.
Well, it's also, this is like, if you are an Atlantic columnist and you have to form an opinion every week, you are
guy who writes for the Atlantic sometimes, which is
Jesus.
But also it's like horrible. You are, and the reason I think a lot of people bought this, there was like, oh yeah, Eric Adams is the future of the Democratic Party, seems to me to be that it's like, well, he's something.
He should.
It's whatever this is clearly isn't working. So let's just pick another thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, he is, if nothing else, another thing.
That's true. That is 100% true. He's a new shambling monster.
Yeah, he's slouching towards Soho.
Uh-huh.
He's at one of his first ever press conferences. I'm going to run through some of his greatest hits of the first half of his first term. Uh-huh. Saying his first term and assuming he'll get a second.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Like, we're all supporting that. We're all donating.
Yeah, we're all...
I'm doing get out the vote for Eric Adams. I'm rattling my big contractor bucket full of rats and bleach.
All prayer warriors report to Eric Adams headquarters. We're doing a spirit bomb for our mayor and yours. At one of his first ever press conferences, he claimed to be the first ever mayor of New York City to wear a hoodie, which, like, there's, like, dozens of photos of Bill de Blasio doing this.
Uh-huh.
No, that's not a real hoodie.
It's not a real
hoodie. Bill de Blasio was not wearing a real hoodie. He actually had a hood sewed on to an L.L. Bean sweater.
That's right.
Really, really enjoying the idea of someone fact-checking this and going back and finding one of the Dutch mayors of New Amsterdam wearing a kind of like hoodie-like garment.
Peter Stuyvesant wearing a howdy. the hardest part of that is getting your peg leg through the leg hole of it. At a press conference in October 2022, Adam said, "Everybody knows one thing about me. I hate rats." That's when he appointed his rat czar, Catherine Coretti.
Yeah, the rat czar.
Which was part of this was debuting the incredible invention of the wheelie trash bin with a top that closes.
This is why they took him out, right? This is why they couldn't let him stay mayor, is because he was treading on the sanitation department's turf. The beautiful New York City tradition of just throw loose piles. Bags of garbage out on the street.
I will say, just in defense of the piles, it is very hard to affect the changing that in New York City because we don't have alleys and there's no place to put dumpsters, and to put dumpsters on the street where trash can go, you'd have to eliminate parking spots. And if you eliminate parking spots, you get a community board meeting full of the most insane rich business owners in the world screaming fucking bloody murder at you. It is actually a very hard, it is a legitimately hard problem to solve. But he does come out saying, like, I fixed the trash. Here's Empire State of Mind playing while I show you the wheelie trash bin.
And the thing is, a couple of things here, right? First of all, wheelie trash bins, like, everybody in Britain is insane about bins, right? All British politics goes through the locus of bins for very similar reasons, right? And, like, bins, there are never enough of them. They always suck. The New York City, like, branded trash bin, it looks like a nice bin. It's a well-designed bin. It's got the, like, rugged wheels. Yeah. I'm a big fan. Big
fan. You can take a bath in there if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that is how New York City will become the London of America, is me taking a, like, using it as a kind of like a paddling pool during a heat wave.
That's right. And more greatest hits. Last December, during an interview with local news station Pix 11, he was asked to describe New York in one word. And he said, "New York, this is a place where every day you wake up, you could experience everything from a plane crashing into our trade center to a person who is celebrating a new business that's open."
When we started this podcast, the first thing that I had in mind and the first thing I posted from the account was that, because we were celebrating a new business that was open very close to on 9/11.
That's correct.
I believe it was 9/11.
It actually was. Yeah.
He put a robot police officer, the Nightscope K5 security bot, which weighed 400 pounds and moved 3 miles an hour, into the Times Square subway station with the intent of filling the city with them.
Yes, it may have replicated the weight of a New York City cop, but it was three times as fast.
It was about as productive. I really like the idea. I'm coming back to the bins again, because the bins capture my imagination of, like, only Nixon could go to China, right? Only Eric Adams, only someone this insane could, like, break the, like, pile of trash bag. Monopoly.
The Nightscope robot could not maneuver around our woefully inaccessible subway system, and it was mothballed.
Didn't he also try and bring in a bunch of the like robot dogs as well for the
NYPD? He wanted to bring the robot dogs for the fire department. There was one painted like a Dalmatian.
He wanted to have drones as well.
Yeah.
What I like is I like that the Nightscope K5 security bot is like going into the mayor's wacky schemes storage cupboard alongside the Boris's water cannon.
Yeah. It's just like we want to do a bunch of weird shit, including alarmingly fascist things.
Yeah, I think I want to make the episode art the photo here of Eric Adams making the half a heart to the robot.
Let me have a look at this here.
It's in the chat.
It doesn't have arms. No, it doesn't have any sort of a heart design on the other side. Why is he doing this?
Because he's
awesome.
I told
you, he got hit in the head when he was 15. Yeah.
It really does replicate the body shape of an NYPD officer as well. That's beautiful.
Yeah, he was going to convert office buildings into apartments, then remembered that they, of course, need windows and egress. Very importantly, like our last friend of New York, Rudy Giuliani, he spent like every night at this one restaurant called La Baia. He loves to party. Which is run by two friends of his.
Wait, this leads to my favorite line of his, something which goes astoundingly hard. This is, I believe, the thing about which he said, I might go out at the club with the boys in the evening, but I wake up with the men in the morning. Which really sounds gay, but also like incredibly hard.
I've never slept.
He claims to only sleep 4 hours a night.
I believe him.
That might be true.
This is genuinely a guy who is severely sleep deprived.
Yeah, he's always on a plane. He's hanging at this restaurant every night, holding court behind like a frosted glass pane. It's run by his two friends who do not hold the liquor license because of felony convictions. He eats there for free. He's always hanging out at this place called Zero Bond, which is a members only club in downtown Manhattan. Also, maybe for free, he appointed the owner to the board of the Met Museum.
This is so good. It's honestly like Eric Adams being mayor of New York is like when a Nero appointed a horse consul of Rome, except it's just like people who have different felony convictions preventing them from doing things. Yeah,
it's like when Nero appointed the horse, but Nero was also a horse in this scenario. He claimed to carry a photo of an officer friend killed on duty in the 80s for years. But then it turned out that he had a staffer make a wallet size photo and weathered it for a photo shoot, like with tea.
No.
Like he did like the high school project. Like
what? Again, he's so easy to catch in a lie is the thing. It's why I wish they'd done the, like, can you try on the Air Force Ones, please?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he, at one of his flag raising ceremonies that he loves so dearly.
But he still had time to do those when he was mayor.
He does them constantly. Still, I think he did one yesterday.
This is also where, whenever, whatever country it is, he says, we know that New York City is the capital of that country, of America.
Yes.
Like, there's one of him wearing a Croatian football shirt saying, we know that New York City is the Zagreb of America, which is beautiful.
There's like a whole montage I found of like every single one of it that someone on Twitter made incredibly. And in most of them, he's wearing a shirt that is sort of the country. And my favorite is when he says Dublin, he's wearing a big sweater.
I'm gonna be the coziest mayor for
like,
you.
Like he's wearing like a green, like very like Irish looking sweater.
At
Philippines flag raising ceremony in June of 2023. So if New York is the greatest city on the globe, that makes me the greatest mayor on the globe.
That's
and it means
so
that the greatest economic developer is from your community that's the greatest on the globe. He somehow made it through his entire speech without calling New York City the Manila of America, which is incredible.
He blanked on Manila. Like,
yeah.
He blanks that. He presented that as a kind of like logic problem. It's like, so we all know that I'm the mayor of the greatest city on the globe, but that means that your community city. Yeah.
Just ending his speech with QED.
Yeah. During the montage, he does it for
Eric Demonstratum.
He does it for Islamabad, but has to clearly look down in his notes before he says it. but
He also fucks up Pakistan and India several times.
Yes.
I think he does he references Pakistan at the India flag raising ceremony and has to be corrected by the Indian consul to New York.
And this is also there's a big controversy. This is recently. There's a big controversy where it was the Indian Day parade in New York, and they wanted to have a float of the temple.
Yeah. The Ayodhya, I think.
Yes. The one that they built on top of the mosque that they destroyed in a race riot when Modi was the governor of the UP in the '90s. And they wanted to have a float of this Hindutva temple basically down the street. And there was a big controversy about it. And after Aaron, I was like, yeah, let's do it. It's all fine. He appeared and then called it Pakistan to all the Hindutva guys, which is
muscle confusion. Yeah. You can absolutely do your fascist Hindutva triumph thing. Love you guys. Shout out to Pakistan.
When he does all this stuff, the first time he did it as mayor, he was wearing a Gaya Bera to show his commitment to New Yorkers of various ethnic communities.
Sure.
And he said, here's the quote for all this behavior. When I rock their clothing, I say I'm going to rock for you as mayor.
And he rocked. He rocked as mayor.
Were he a more normal mayor, I would strongly support this, right? I don't think it's cultural appropriation when a mayor does it. I think a Gaya Bera looks really good on most people.
Yes.
So I strongly support this. Were it not for the fact that he is also insane in several other worse ways.
Look, stop and frisk is up 9,000%. Bribes to the mayor are up 40,000,000%. But poison rat drownings are also up by 500,000%.
But yeah, I want normal mayors to do this. Like Sadiq Khan, right, who I consider to be broadly a normal mayor. I want him to do a St. Patrick's Day thing coming out in the Eric Adams green sweater. I think that would be cool, you know?
Yeah, I think I love that he shows up in Chinatown for the Lunar New Year thing, and he's wearing a Hanfu jacket, but also an NYPD hat. Which I put that photo in the notes, and I put a photo of him wearing the Nepalese hat. I think it's called the Daki.
Oh, that's magnificent.
Yeah.
He looks great.
He looks great.
He loves dressing up. And you know what? Whom's among us, right?
Eric Adams certainly has a sense of, with a lot of politicians that November and I've also talked about on other shows, you get the sense that they hate doing that job.
Yeah.
You get the sense that Boris Johnson fucking hated being London mayor.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Eric Adams is the only one who clearly is having the best time of his fucking life.
I love the Hanfu NYPD photo so much because it's a bad cyberpunk thing.
Yeah.
Like 2070. I mean, fuck, 2024, the mayor of New York dons his police issue Hanfu.
Yeah. Important to note here that he is still evil.
Yes. He's fun. He's funny, but he's evil.
He loves to sweep homeless encampments, which is what it's called when the NYPD steals everything you own. The police can now commit mentally ill people to psychiatric institutions involuntarily.
I have a question.
That is not abused. Yes.
Do New Yorkers at this point feel about him the same way that Londoners feel about Boris, where unless it's their shit being thrown into the back of a garbage truck, they're this guy's funny? Or is the funniness... Okay.
In January 22, which is when he starts his mayoralty, his approval rating is 64%.
Makes sense. People loved his crazy videos.
Yes.
They loved how he found bullets behind a painting.
Yeah, and also gestured towards some progressive stuff when he was running because he had to. By June of that year, so 5 months later, it's down to 29%.
Woof. Uh-huh. That's Starmer-esque.
I mean, New Yorkers love to hate the mayor. We hate the mayor always.
Friggin' Giuliani,
etc. We're a big no gods, no mayors kind of city. We are ungovernable as a fucking group.
Greatest city in the world.
Yeah, and the Mets won last night. But, he, again, zero tolerance policy for homeless people sleeping in MTA cars or stations. And then, he's reintroducing plainclothes police units that Bill de Blasio disbanded after the George Floyd killing and protests. Violent crime is continuing to rise a little bit at this point. He does not believe in the separation of church and state and said that explicitly. Don't tell me about no separation of church and state. State is the body. Church is the heart. You take the heart out of the body dies. I can't separate myself because I'm an elected official, he continued, over scattered applause.
Cool. This guy would have made such a good president.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? In America, these of days, who fucking knows? Maybe he will be. In 21 and 22, we got a bunch of migrants seeking political asylum, either showing up here or getting sent here by other states. He mostly resettled them elsewhere in the country or made them stay in, frankly, I saw it with my own eyes, very inhumane conditions out at a fucking airfield in Brooklyn in the winter, no heat.
Britain has form for this. We were repurposing like abandoned and derelict military base after abandoned and derelict military base as like punishment housing for people coming here seeking asylum.
Yes. Yeah. He is a monster in this regard. And the guy in charge of it, I think, was indicted recently.
No.
Yeah, I think he's caught up in it.
Eric Adams being president from jail would be a really funny sequel to Trump being president from jail. We just have back-to-back jail presidents.
Yeah. While he's been mayor, the NYPD has been really acting incredibly out of pocket. They're still on their like silent fucking like traffic, like not enforcing traffic violations strike
don't,
they've been
don't,
on for
don't
years.
Don't the NYPD also still hate him personally as well?
I think so.
That's this weird vibe I've always gotten is that like, although he is the cop mayor and he like dines out a lot on that and he gives the cops everything they wanted.
Yes.
The impression I get is that personally, they still can't stand him.
Yeah, I think that seems to be the case. I mean, it's the same thing with, they didn't like Giuliani either. They don't like anybody. Mm,
yeah, you know? I guess so. But not even a cop, not a prosecutor, not a cop. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, he loves to let the police drive wherever they want. Car chases are up 600%.
Yeah. Okay.
He just really wants to see like a cop car with the like flashing lights stuck to the roof drive through a bunch of boxes down an alley.
He watched Tom Walker's stream. Yeah. Is what happened.
the Lightspeed Grand Theft Auto stream. Yeah. I think it's important also, he is a very car brained man, which is unusual for a New Yorker to be. At least the mayor should not be car brained, but he loves cars. When he was talking about like dining shed stuff early in the pandemic, he said the dining sheds were great because you could be driving around and you'd see, quote, a piece of eye candy sitting at one of the dining sheds, and you could drive up to her and get her number. He could not imagine in his wildest dreams walking up to a woman.
The thing resurfaces, the pickup artist stuff resurfaces, you know?
Yeah.
Like the little mustache grows back for
grows
a minute.
Back.
He thinks he lives in the New York City from Seinfeld, I think.
I think,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just remembering that when he was younger, when he was in State Center, he also used to wear a lot of like silk shirts as well. And yeah. I'm thinking about the playlist that implies. I'm thinking about a lot of like R&B, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just not good vibes, I don't think.
There's a really incredible New York Times article from this year that's like inside the mayor's closet that I found that was just like a bunch of photos of his fucking suits. And they're all horrible.
The fits are interesting because like at one point I think you posted a photo of Eric Adams like getting indicted in the group chat. And I lasered the fuck in on the sneakers, the like leather dress sneakers he was wearing with this suit. And I spent like 2 days trying fruitlessly to identify what the fuck these were. Just because, like, I've never seen anyone who dresses quite like him.
Yeah, I mean, I will say he is representative of a certain gentleman of his age and cohort and location he is from.
Sure.
I feel like I could walk around downtown Brooklyn and see some guys dressed like him for sure.
Mm.
But it is interesting that he's kept it up as mayor and then also will put, you know, a traditional Chinese silk coat over it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He, one last bit of little evil thing that he did. He was confronted by a housing activist last year. Who's also, or early, I can't remember what it was, maybe this year. Who's also a Holocaust survivor about his connections to real estate. And he yelled at her, "Don't stand in front like you treated someone that's on the plantation that you own." Which he yelled to a Holocaust survivor talking to him about rent.
What?
Yeah, he's really touchy. He cannot handle anyone criticizing him. He's got very thin skin, despite him saying
that. That's so good for a politician, is to be super touchy and defensive and have a really short temper.
Uh-huh. So that brings us to the middle of his first term as mayor.
Uh-huh.
So this we're in about November 2023.
Uh-huh.
On the 22nd of that month, a Florida woman that worked under him in the NYPD in 1993 filed a sexual assault lawsuit against him, which is still unresolved.
Uh-huh.
going back a little bit, November 2nd of that month, FBI agents seized 3 phones and 2 laptops from his chief fundraiser. On November 6th, his Adams iPad and phone were seized.
Yeah, the way they did this was fucking insane, by the way, because they didn't want him to try and delete anything from them. So while he was like moving from like restaurant to like armored suburban car, the FBI just like ducked between his security detail and took his phone and his iPad from him while he was getting into his car, which that's never a good sign when that happens to you, I don't think.
Yeah. And then November 12th of last year is when we all found out. That's when the New York Times reported that the investigation was, of course, pertaining to alleged influence by the Turkish government to have his consulate in Manhattan building approved by city authorities despite some safety issues. Mm-hmm. And a Turkish immigrant-run construction company that helped raise the funds for the Adams campaign in May 2021 was also being investigated by the FBI.
So, as in our classic fashion, could we say it was a normal, cloudy November morning? Yeah.
When?
New York City is the Istanbul of America.
Again, we promise we're not going to keep splitting up the episodes like this, but we were handed our fate by the haters atop Mount Olympus.
At the table of success. That's right. Yeah.
And so we are forced to sit upon the table of success and around the table of success.
And we can't do this as a one-parter because we would be here for 12 hours.
Yeah. So we were next week, we'll be on the Patreon. Part 2 of Eric Adams, which is the rest from November of 2023 until now, October of 2024.
That one's going to be 5 hours long, and we're going to get some guests on.
I think we're going to get our first guest on.
Our first guest?
And that's going to be on the Patreon, which you can listen to every other episode of No Gods for Mayors for a mere $5 a month. We'll get you into the Mayor's Benevolent Fund.
What's No Gods for Mayors, Maddie?
Minor error in name of podcast detected. It's fucking over.
Oh, No Gods for Mayors.
No Gods for Mayors.
I'm bringing religion back.
A mayor for each human.
No, that's right. No Gods for Mayors. Giuliani, Ford, Boris, and Adam.
Yeah,
that was a
pun for the number of episodes we've done. Riley, you idiot.
They're seated around the table of success.
Yeah. That's correct.
Boris Kolarik, Rob Ford, fucking
Bile.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Giuliani.
Black Bile. Rob Ford's Yellow Bile. Uh-huh. And Eric Adams is phlegm.
He is the most phlegmatic mayor. I believe this.
Yeah. But we'll have part 2 next week. Thank you so much for listening.
Oh yes.
And we'll talk to you then.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Something simple as a crack pipe.